Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts. And all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, we are all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says,
I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand,
does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says,
I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye,
does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand,
I don't need you.
Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet,
I don't need you.
Instead, the parts of the body that the people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with the less honor, so that there won't be a division in the body, so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gives the glory, all parts celebrate with it.
You are the body of Christ and parts of each other.
This scripture is rich with meaning and application. As you read through it, I hope that you found something that you connected with. Even as I read this, many images ran through my head. And even throughout this week, as I read this chapter, the chapter took on new meaning as my brother was diagnosed with cancer. 12 years ago, on April 1st of all days, the right side of my face became completely paralyzed. I went into the emergency room and they ran tons of tests. The doctors, after they were done with all their tests, diagnosed me with Bell's palsy. To this day, they don't know what causes Bell's palsy. They have many ideas of what does, but the one thing they do know is that the L7 nerve, the seventh nerve out of 12 to your cranium, is inflamed and not able to work. I was told that this would last anywhere from several days to several weeks, and I went home exhausted. I remember staring at the mirror and being in shock, seeing my face totally not working. But I wasn't too worried because I was sure it was going to only last a couple of days. I taped my eye shut because it would not shut on its own. I had to put a Breathe Right strip on my nose because my nostril had collapsed. And I had to put a heating pad on my face to relieve the pain. I went to bed exhausted. But I couldn't sleep too well because I had things stuck all over my face. My few days turned into a few weeks, and weeks turned into months. 3 months later, I was in the exact same predicament. I had total paralysis on the right side of my face. One little nerve that runs right through here was not working. Because that nerve was not working, it was difficult for me to chew, so I ate soft foods and not the veggies and fruits that I was used to. When it was nearly impossible for me to drink because water would just pour out the other side of my face, so I developed a very unique way of drinking with a straw, holding my mouth shut on the other side and slowly sipping this water. I couldn't just casually take a sip of water. My right eye, and it does even right now, would continually leak. And I would have to manually shut it because I couldn't blink. As the months wore on, I began to develop a callus on my eye because of the lack of moisture. When I would go into public, people would stare at me and sometimes even turn around to take a second look at my paralyzed face. I learned to walk so that I could turn my right side away from people so they would not see my face. And I avoided going in public places. And I started fighting an old enemy of anxiety and depression. Again, one little nerve. One little nerve not doing its job hurt my whole body. The muscles were not damaged to begin with, but because this nerve did not do its job, the muscles in my face began to deteriorate because of lack of use. The good news is the story did not end there. God did touch me. At 3 months of total paralysis on the right side of my face, I asked God to please allow me to at least smile and shut my eye. He answered my prayers. I could smile and I could shut my eyes. I still have a few spots of paralysis on my face, and I have this side effect called synkinesis, which causes me to wink when I smile. So I tell people, don't take it personally when I wink at you, please. My little seventh nerve to my cranium is trying to work. I am thankful for that. It's not at full capacity, but it's working. And I can even raise one eyebrow. I always couldn't do that. I could never do that before. I can raise one eyebrow now. I want to read you 1 Corinthians 12:9-26 from the Message. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. No matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand, get lost, I don't need you. Or the head telling the foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body, you are concerned with it. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. It gives dignity and honor just as it is, without comparison. If anything, you would have more concern with the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, would you prefer a good digestion or a full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for us to understand our lives together in the church, each part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention, the parts we don't. The parts we see, the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part involved is hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every part enters into the exuberance. When you looked at the scripture first, did something stick out to you? Are you feeling maybe like the lower part of the body? Maybe like that hidden L6 nerve, unappreciated? Do you feel like maybe the drooling mouth or the calloused eye that needs help from other parts of the body? Do you feel like maybe your brother or sister is that gigantic eye or that hand? I want you to know that only as each part of the body works together can we be truly healthy. So if one part of us is hurt, let us gather together and nourish that part that is hurt so that we can all flourish and celebrate together. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other.
Those doing the second reading can come on up. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 through 13:13. And again, I'm going to invite you, as you hear the words being read, that you keep that attitude of prayerful reflection and worship, and listen to the words of the scriptures. Let them speak to your heart, to your mind. Think about what God might be saying to you through them. Think about those things that stand out to you and strike you in a special way, and chew upon those today. Take note of that so you can think about it throughout the rest of the day. Let's prayerfully listen now.
Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts, and I'm going to show you an even better way.
If I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels but don't have love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing.
If I give away everything that I have and hand over my body to feel good about what I've done, but I do not have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant.
It isn't rude. It doesn't speak to its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints.
It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things.
Love never fails.
As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end.
As for tongues, they will stop.
As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end.
We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end.
When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I have become a man, I put an end to childish things.
Now we see a reflection in a mirror, then we will see face to face.
Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known.
Now these three things remain:
faith,
hope,
and love.
And the greatest of these is love.
Would you pray with me? Lord, continue to speak to us in this time. Continue to keep our ears open and our eyes anxious to see you and constantly looking for you and our hearts humble before you. Speak to us, challenge us, change us, and Father, help us to look more like your love and your body after being in this place. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen. Oh, well, for those of you who don't know, most do, but I am a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor until I was about 12 years old, and I have grown up in the church my entire life. It still feels awkward to not be in a church on Sunday morning. Like I get that like sick stone in the bottom of your stomach feeling every time I'm not in church on a Sunday morning. And I've noticed something that we do in my, you know, entire life of experience here. I've noticed something that we do, and it ties in with what I want to talk about today. We read chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians where we talk about the body, and we talk about what the body looks like and different parts of the body and how they interact, and not one part can get by without the other, and how we are to value each part, and we're to work in harmony, and we are to love each other. But chapter 12 doesn't end the thought, and then chapter 13 starts a new thought. They flow seamlessly from one to the other. The way the books were originally written, the letters that were originally written that are in the Bible now, it was a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth, and he was responding to things that were happening, but there were no spaces, there were no breaks, there were no chapter and verse numbering. There was nothing like that. It was all one letter left to right, read to be as a single thought. And so when we take chapter 12 and 13 and we separate them, because 12 is the church chapter and 13 is the wedding chapter, right? When we separate them, it doesn't do a very good job of representing what God's call to us is. You see, at the end of chapter 12, we have the phrase, "I'm going to show you an even better way." And then Paul begins to talk about love. As the body of Christ, which is the church, and the church is not the building, you are the church, I am the church, we are the church. It's not the four walls. But as the body of Christ, the church, we are called to love. We are called to love ourselves, because we are made in the image of God, and he loves us. We are called to love the world, and we are called to love each other. But what is love? That's a hard thing. I was thinking about that as we were, I mean, we read through these chapters. We've been planning this for a while. And as I read through this, the thing that kept sticking out to me, what is love? Love is defined culturally, right? I don't think it is. I think love is an intentional choice. We choose to love. Who here has been married the longest? If you've been married quite a while, can you just shout out how many years you've been married? 29? 63. You have put up with Marlon for 63 years? Dear Lord, please be... Wow. And he's in the balcony. He's not even... So, I am sure there are many days... 62. 67. Yeah. Oh, my word. 61. Man, I'm at year 7, and I can't believe Susie still puts up with me. Bless you all. That is amazing. This is a side note, but can I just say that lasting marriages like that, they set an awesome example for me and my kids and my family. The fact that you've chosen to love one another for that long, it's just amazing. That's awesome. That's something to be praised, that you chose to love one another that long. I think that our culture today defines love as a feeling. It's ushy-gushy. It's how I feel. It's I fall in love and I fall out of love. It's how I feel in the moment. And I think that does a huge disservice to what God calls us to. I think that falls vastly short of what our Maker, our Creator calls us to, because God is love. He's our ultimate example of it, and God did not choose to love us because he felt like it. If I speak in the tongues of human beings and angels, but I don't have love, I don't choose love, I am a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and this one gets me. If I have faith that can move mountains, if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, if I don't choose love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have, my favorite translation for the following section is if I surrender my body to the flames, martyrdom. This idea of surrendering, like giving everything you have to God to the point of death. And it says, if I don't choose love, if I don't have love, it amounts to nothing. Love is patient. 4 a.m. with a screaming kid is a choice to love. It's a choice to be patient. When the people sitting to the left and right of you annoy you or frustrate you or write things on Facebook you don't agree with, it's a choice. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It does not seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints or wrongs. And that's a big one, because when we tend to fight with one another, we bring out past junk that has nothing to do with what's going on. And that is not love. chapter 12 flows into chapter 13. If we're going to be the body of Christ, we need to love. The end of this chapter concludes with this idea that Paul states faith. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Choose love. If you're going to be part of Central, and you are part of Central, and I'm so thankful that you are all part of Central. But if you're going to be part of Central, we will love God. We will love everyone. Love everyone. And we will follow Jesus. Father, lay upon our hearts the times and the instances when we have not chosen love, and we pray that you would forgive us. The times that we have not chosen to love our neighbor, the times that we have not chosen to love ourselves, the times that we have not chosen to love you, the times that we have not chosen to love the church, your body, your representatives here on earth. Forgive us, Lord. And challenge us to choose love, to lead our hearts to where you want them to go. And Father, continue to help us to be your people here on earth, led by you, loving you, and sent out by you. In your name we pray. Amen.
First of all, can I say thank you for going with us this morning? We've been kind of jumping around from thing to thing, but it's the fifth Sunday. Don't you kind of expect something weird to happen on the fifth Sunday, right? Well, this morning I want to talk about part of the joy of being the part of the body of Christ, and that is that we also get to celebrate together with one another and with Christ, to see the moments, the snapshots, the efforts that shine Christ's light in the darkness and smile, laugh, and clap in celebration with him. Many of you participated back in March and April in an effort we called Central Walks for Water. We partnered with Calvary, the Haitian congregation that meets here on Sunday evenings, to raise awareness and funds toward water projects in Haiti. A couple of weeks ago, we received a letter of thanks, and this week, we received some pictures celebrating the progress. On the screen is the letter in Creole. Anybody read Creole here today? Yeah, I didn't think so. I will read to you the English translation. From the people of Fond Palmiste, Javaja, Pellerin, La Ferrière, La Ferme sect in Haiti. To the Christians of Free Methodist Church of Lansing. Object, gratitude. We sit together to write this letter to show our gratitude for the water you provide for us. Thank you very much. We cannot forget Pastor Beverly Meyer, who does not forget to help the poor people of the community of Chantal. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the water you help our families be able to drink, for the school you pay for our children, for the houses you help us build for our brothers and sisters. We helped one time, Pastor Bev's congregation and many others who contribute, give yearly and regularly for children to go each year to school and get their supplies and build homes and take care of a variety of things in this area of Haiti. And the last line, we will never forget you. Sincerely, and then it has a list of all of the families who are affected by this water project. Now, the next thing on the screen you'll see is a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. On the top are the faces of some of the people who participated in Central Walks for Water. You might be able to find yourself there. On the bottom are the names of all those Haitian families who've been directly affected by the funds that we have sent. Now take a minute and drink in all those faces and all those names. There are many parts, but one body. Now let me show you the pictures of the spigots where the water comes out, the place where people from the nearby villages will come to get their water. Now, if you are like me and have always lived in the United States and are very used to your very beautiful water faucet in your home, and in fact, several of them, you're going to look at that and you're going to think, how does that cost that much money? One spigot out of rock, it kind of looks like. Well, I had that question, so I asked Pastor Bev, how does this all work? And she explained it to me. And let me tell you, this is a many parts kind of endeavor. First, there is the engineer that needs to be hired, the person with the proper education to make the plan, who understands how the land and the water and the machinery will all work together. Then a plumber needs to be hired who takes that plan and begins to implement it. Pipe, cement, and rebar are purchased. Often this plan will cover many miles. Those miles generally include placing the pipes on land owned by someone. Negotiations ensue and often mean at least a one-time exchange of money so that the pipes can go across that person's land. And then the implementation will also require a whole lot of digging and carrying and transporting of supplies. So there are laborers. And while those laborers are working, they need to keep up their strength. Of course, many of those laborers come from homes where there is very little food and sustenance. So while we pay them, we also give them food while they are working each day. But some of the money that you gave, invested, provides jobs for local laborers. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And all of that interconnected web of people and resources, hard work and love, combine to connect one person with one person. Two people who may never meet one another, but are now forever connected to one another. One person who gave his time and effort made a difference to one person who now walks a much shorter distance to carry clean water for her family. And each of these people pictured represents a whole lot of other individual people, each connected in ways beyond what we may ever see. Because that is the wonder and the beauty and the power of the body of Christ. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. There are many parts, but one body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now prayerfully think for a moment about how all of this kind of ties together. First, Jesus taught in John 14:20 that he lives in you. Jesus lives in you. So in some amazing way, you alone are the body of Christ. For those of you who want to downplay your abilities or gifts, you can't stay there because Christ lives in you. You cannot in good conscience hide Christ or keep him to yourself. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But number two, as is often the case in spiritual things, it is more than just about you. Jesus also lives in the person right next to you in the pew where you're sitting, and across from you, and in the church down the street, and in Haiti, and in the Congo, and in Nepal. So somehow all of us together are the body of Christ. And all those parts are connected. Martin Luther King Jr. put it this way: in a real sense, all life is interrelated. All persons are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I'm what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. So how are you connected to the body of Christ? How are you participating with others who are serving the world, loving others, and living out the kingdom of God? Number three, one of the ways to find a place to be in the body of Christ is to look around and see where the needs are. As Beth talked about, when one part suffers, we all suffer. So this provides an opportunity for us to reach out in love, to be a part of the healing, to serve that part that needs extra help, to come alongside and find a way to build up that part. This is a great place to start, to look around and see the needs. And fourth, as Pastor Eric reminded us, 1 Corinthians 12 is immediately followed by 1 Corinthians 13. It is all about love. When we respond to the love of Jesus in us by letting his love pour out of us in connection to those around us, body of Christ stuff starts happening through us. Let me say that again. When we respond to the love of Jesus in us by letting his love pour out of us in connection to those around us, body of Christ stuff starts happening through us. And that, my friends, is what I call a miracle. So here's the challenge today. Have you received the love of Jesus? Is it filling you up and spilling out of you? Have you found a place in the wider body of Christ? Maybe we can pray that you could pray that God will open your eyes to see where the need is and how he may be uniquely equipping you to meet that need. Maybe you know your place in the body of Christ, but right now it seems small and insignificant. It never is. It also may seem overwhelming and too big for you. It always is. But it is never too big for Jesus. Ephesians 2 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We should diligently seek to find Jesus' works for us to do and then do them with great love. As we close the service today, I have an invitation. A couple of invitations. Beth talked about when one part is suffering. And some of you today may be in a place where you're just feeling like you're struggling and you need the body of Christ to come around you and support you and pray for you. And if that's you today, I invite you to come and kneel at the altar. And if you see someone coming up and you want to be that person to support and pray for them, you just come and stand behind them and we're going to pray for them. But that's not all. Maybe you're a person who is struggling to find your place in the body of Christ. Maybe you're like Barb and you're in a place of transition and you're not sure what the future holds and your role used to be this, but you're not really sure what the next role is for you. And maybe you want to just come and pray about that and pray, Lord, will you show me where my part in the body of Christ is? I also invite you to come and let somebody else in the body just put their hands on you and continue to pray for you. And the last invitation is, maybe you're just struggling to receive the love of Jesus. Maybe you know it in your head, but you haven't really felt it in your heart. Maybe you need to just come and say, Lord, I need to receive your love today. You're welcome. You're always welcome. So just, it's time. If you would like to come, why don't you all stand? And we're going to have a closing prayer. But if you'd like to come and just have people come, if you want to come and pray, if you want to have come and support someone who is praying, I just invite you to come and kneel and pray for one another. And if you see someone up here kneeling, we don't want them to be alone. You don't even have to know them. We are all part of the body of Christ. Just come and lay a hand on their shoulder and pray for them. Would you come and just support your body of Christ together? Let's pray. God, we come to you as our head. And we are so thankful that you allow us to be part of your body. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a glory it is to be one with you. And Lord, we pray for the body of Christ here at Central. We pray that you would show us the good works you have for us as a community to do. You would show us how to love one another in more deeper and purposeful ways. That you would help us when one part is suffering to gather around and to be the strength and the encouragement for that part. That you would bring healing to those parts that so desperately need it. We pray for those who are at the altar this morning struggling in some way, that they're feeling suffering, they're feeling broken, they're feeling tired or worn out or sick or ill. Lord, we ask that you would put your hand upon each of those people. Would you bring the healing touch that they need? Would you show them the path that they could take, steps that they could do? Show them, open their eyes to see what you have for them and give them the courage to walk in it. Lord, we pray for those who are in transition at this time and just really struggling to see where their place is, whether they're kneeling here or maybe standing. Lord, show us what you'd have us to do so that we can have the joy of being part of the work that you're doing. Open up and help us again to have the courage to take those steps. And Lord, for any here this morning who are saying, I've never felt the love of Jesus poured out on me, Lord, would you speak to them right now? Would you help them to open their hearts to receive what you have for them? Would you show them that you are real and you are loving and kind and powerful in a personal way in their lives? Would you come in and transform them in a way that they could never deny again because they've been changed by you? Lord, thank you that we can just come together in front of you, worship you, and receive from you. Thank you. Thank you that we have this privilege to be in this place together today. And Lord, one last thing I pray for this, all of the families that were listed in that letter in Haiti. Lord, somehow we are now connected to them in forever sorts of ways. And we pray that you would bless them. I know they've had a year of a lot of drought, and we pray for rain. Lord, we pray for provision of all of the different things that they need. And we pray that these water things will just be blessings that will point those who don't know you to you, that they will see that this is because you love them and you have a plan for their life. May it be a place where your glory would shine. Lord, thanks again that we're all part of this great big story you're telling. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Central. We are part of the body of Christ. We are central. We are part of the global body of Christ. We are central. We are part of this loving community that God has knit together in a beautiful way. Please remain standing for just a moment as we receive this blessing. May you know the love of God the Father, so that you may in turn show that love to others. May you connect closely to Jesus Christ, the head of this beautiful body. And may the Holy Spirit empower you to find your place in this body and use the gifts and talents that he has given for the glory of God. Amen. You are dismissed.